Now, like I said, fellas, we can have a heated debate, but let's not fall out over a watch. There's no fighting, no kicking, no punching, no gouging, no pulling hair. All right?
What the hell are you inviting me for?
It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here on Apple pre-order day to, as one email pleaded with me this morning, to try and avoid talking about the watch. Which is
impossible.
Which is just not going to happen, unfortunately. Yes, today was the day that the Apple Watch came out, and we need to have a discussion about several things. And I'm chuffed that Chuff Latournis is back, because we've quoted Chuck quite a lot in the last few weeks. And we're going to quote him some more today, I would suggest. Dear Chuck, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm very, very well. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here, and I promise to try to behave myself.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that.
A little bit.
Just enough.
Yes.
Yeah, not to the point of being boring. How have you been, Max? I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks.
No, it's been very, very busy. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make one of the shows, and then we had the break for Good Friday last week. So I have lots of stuff stored up, and I'm very anxious to talk about it all.
Oh, it could be exciting today. It could really be exciting today. Not as exciting as welcoming a new guest on. Patrice, how the devil are you, mate?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I mean, it has been a lovely day here in Germany. So, I mean, yeah, what can be better than
we've tried to band together the European brethren for the show. So we've got some offset against the weight of the Americans that are in here.
Oh yeah.
Beneath Patrice, his partner in crime on Mac Pro is Doc. How you doing, pal?
Good, man. Good. I'm kind of excited. Sitting here, be watching every day, waiting for the FedEx man to show up.
Did you place an order?
Well, Steph.
Which one did you place?
I got a sport, because I knew right away that was the way to play it. So that way, mm-hmm. if you don't like it, it only cost me freaking $400.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Well done. I've got some pictures of people that have gone and tried a watch on, and so far, they say it feels quite nice, but I don't know that they're that impressed with the total functionality and stuff of it that they played with. And last but by no means least, Michael Gaines. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
No, pleasure, mate. You were great last time, but it just hasn't tied up that we've had you back on, unfortunately. Will you be getting a watch?
I already ordered one.
Oh, right. Okay. So did everybody order one? Is it only me that's the grouchy one that hasn't?
I have not.
Good man. Good man. Is that in protest or just you woke up too late?
I think it's a confluence of things. I don't want to buy one until I've tried it on my wrist, because I'm not exactly sure whether I want the 38 or the 42, and you know which band is going to fit me right, and I didn't feel like measuring with string and all that kind of stuff. And even beyond just the sizing, I still want to see what it looks like, how it feels like in person. Some of the reviews that have been coming out talk about a lagginess to the operating system, to the glances in particular. So, I'm not completely sold. The main reason that I'm still considering getting a watch is so that I can write about it. And if I wasn't going to be writing about it, I would most certainly be sitting this one out, at least for a while, until I hear more.
I mean, the first thing to talk about, I guess, is the fact there's a few things that have gone on around this watch for the last year that don't feel right. They don't feel like Apple, and that's the perception thing that I've sounded off a little bit this morning on Twitter, and a lot of people have sent me some negative feedback for being a bit negative myself. But my point is that, you know, we've had the greed issue that you talked about, Chuck, but also this watch was gone in 6 minutes. Now that for me is that is an under production of units. That is not demand in that sense. I think Apple have kind of like got some feedback from focus groups and that kind of stuff and gone, we don't know if this is going to sell like hotcakes or not, so let's make 5 million of them and let's push them out there and see if they go, and if they go, then great. Well, 5 million is never going to go anywhere. There was a great tweet from Bill this morning, and he said 5 million is 2% of iPhone 5 and iPhone 6 users who this will be compatible with. iPhone 5S and iPhone 6 users, and that's irrelevant almost as a number.
Well, it's irrelevant compared to the iPhone, but it's relevant if you just look at the smartwatch market, because I don't know, I think I think Android Wear has sold something like, I'm not sure, I think 2 million Yeah. So far.
So, I mean, even if that is all they printed, you're right. They more than doubled what's already available.
Yeah.
Probably in the whole other space. But I think I kind of agreed with Chuck to some extent in the fact that I did wanted to feel it and get it on my wrist and all of that. But knowing that the supply was going to be constrained from just various things I heard, I figured Apple has the world's best return policy in the planet, so I'll get it, and if it doesn't fit, I can switch to something else within the right amount of time. And then also, but basically on the same note, everyone's complaining about slowness. I would say my iPhone 6 Plus was kind of slow the first week, and then once the dust settled, then the first update came, everything was beautiful and has been beautiful ever since. And a matter of fact, the update just from a couple of days made it even faster. So for the people who are writing about this, they're all tech writers. They all have iPhones or have touched an iPhone. They all know Yosemite first release was slow. Mavericks the first release. So why would you report about the lagginess and not mention that, oh, that's a software thing that's kind of easy to fix?
Well, that's if it is a software thing, and I think it probably is, and Apple says that they are going to send out software fixes that will address some of the issues. Yep. But what if it's an iPhone 1 issue and it's not really just the software, but it is the hardware that will, you know, a chip that's going to need to be replaced in version 2 to really get the performance that everybody's going to demand at the time. So, you know, I'm happy to wait and see if the software fixes do take care of the issues. But if they don't, I'd rather not be holding the watch at that point.
I mean, That's an issue you have with almost any Generation 1 product. I mean, of course, I mean, let's hope Generation 2 will be better. But that doesn't mean that the first generation is bad. It just means we don't know yet. I mean, Apple, just like we are, is figuring out what to do with this product and what the requirements even are. I mean, they've done some internal testing, they've probably done some limited focus group testing, but what the consumer and us, I mean us geeks, what we want from this product and what the requirements are just isn't known yet.
And I think that's a great point, and it depends on whether the people buying it, so if it's us geeks who are buying the first version of the Apple Watch, and we do understand that version one products are sometimes going to be slower, the performance isn't going to be there, that's one thing. We kind of expect that, and we'll get over it. But I think this is much more of a consumer product than most Apple products are. So the question is going to be whether, you know, the guy off the street, the gal off the street are going to be as forgiving of version one issues and saying, oh no, I'll buy version two next year and I'll expect the performance to be better then. And I'm also curious to see what the refresh cycle is on these things. Is it going to be every year like an iPhone, or are we going to get an Apple Watch every 2, every 3 years?
I hope it's not going to be every year if you spend $10,000 on one.
Well, yeah. but as others have said, if you can spend $10,000 on a watch, then, you know, upgrading it every year really probably isn't an issue for you.
Well, hang on. We can't go back over the same old territory that we've already done with Doc. I think there's, you know, for a $10,000 for a 1 year device is a lot of money, and that's across any brand, across any cycle, across any computer device that's ever been, including the Mac Pro. You know, you could spec out a Mac Pro for $10,000 and expect an upgrade a year later. I don't think so. There's not many companies would do that, let alone individuals. But there's something about this watch that just doesn't feel right to me. There's been a lot of tweets this morning saying, I'll buy this when it's got a heart rate monitor and a GPS in it. And then someone comes back and goes, no, it has got a heart rate monitor in it. Oh, okay. Well, what about the GPS? Well, no, the GPS is always going to be off the phone anyway. It's never going to be inside the thing. And people are confused about what the spec is on this thing. And that's not Apple. That is nothing like what Apple is. They've promised stuff. There's been rumors of stuff. There's been things announced. And then people are, like, the walkie-talkie thing, there's a story running around at the moment that the walkie-talkie thing actually isn't a phone call thing. It's actually just a voice message thing. And that's not what they intended with it. And it is not right to sit there looking at a product on day one that it comes out and not actually even for sure know what the spec is and for sure know what the latency of the device is and for sure know what the longevity of the device is in terms of obsolescence and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of, there's too many questions around this for me to think that this is really Apple-like. It's not for me.
Well, you know, the idea of Apple did not put in the spec that I wrote about in my report that didn't come out the way I said it did, Mark Gurman. That's nobody's fault but yours. Stop speculating. Stop rumor chasing. Do what the rest of us used to do before all of this craziness got stupid, and wait for Christmas and enjoy Christmas when you got Christmas, and talk about Christmas after you got it. And I still have I will always have a chapter to pick with that, because so many people, all the negativity that they ever have to say about any device produced by Apple, and not so much by other people, which really makes it irritating, is people will go out and paper chase rumors and guess, and when it doesn't come out the way that they want it, they go, oh, Apple screwed up. I say, Apple never promised you a rose garden, Dolly Parton.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that statement, because I think that statement is in its entirety true for itself. But my take on it has always been, there's been too many questions left unanswered, and even some of the answered questions, people are still confused about, and that's an issue. That is an issue.
I completely and totally accept that. And I would definitely say you're hands-on right about that. But it's the kind of stuff that, to be honest with you, even for those of us who pre-ordered, we're all in a good position because we have 30 days to unpre-order that sucker by the time of May 24th comes around. But for everyone who's getting their watch in the first, you know, month, we took a leap of faith. And I will tell you, the majority of them, just because of the way I was sitting online ordering them, the majority of the leap of faith all came in the size of sports. So 350 it sounds like a lot, but it's not. I mean, God, I spent more than that on a driver, and I still can't play golf. I've used it like 4 times. But Tiger said this Nike One Sasquatch was mean. I bought the thing, and it still went right in the bushes. And that driver has been in my golf bag for going on 2 years now, and I swear it's hit like 4 golf balls. So we do it for other things, and don't complain. I guarantee you have a lens that you went and bought, and you probably don't use it as much as you thought you would.
I wonder how many of you that did pre-order a watch, how many of you actually have one right now and have worn one for the last few years?
Watch?
Nope.
Yeah, I have just a regular analog watch.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of them.
Now, I haven't worn a watch in 20 years. And here I am ordering a watch only because there's a belief in Apple and what they will produce. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a first gen tech guy. I'll buy anything when it first comes out if I think that it's worth it. And so I'm curious about it. I actually want to see if this thing delivers what Apple is promising. But I mean, for all we know, these quote unquote smartwatches, will they be the next thing, or are they just a flash in the pan? We don't know.
We don't know.
Probably a combination of both.
And so you think a lot of whether it becomes a flash in the pan is going to be up to the developers and what they figure out about what they can do with the device. Yeah, and that's kind of what excites me the most about it. And that's the same as the iPhone too, right? When the iPhone came out, it was pretty much the three devices that Steve talked about, the music player, the phone, the communications device, and the internet surfer. So it obviously evolved way beyond that. And if the Apple Watch is going to evolve beyond telling time and notifications and a fitness tracker, then it's going to be the developers who do that.
The developers are the people who are, I mean, for the most part, are buying it right now. The developers, maybe some and journalists, and a few enthusiasts. Has been the case for any new product Apple has released. I mean, the iPhone, the iPad, the first generation didn't sell huge numbers.
And you know what this brings me to? It's kind of funny. Looking at Chuck's picture, in the back of his head, there's what looks to be like a 7100. And I remember when I first bought that machine, my first thought was, this 7100 is not the way Apple builds computers. But it was their first crack at this power PC game as we know it. And soon after, like a couple of updates came out, a couple of things came out, developers started to figure out how to work this power PC swag. And all of a sudden, it was like one of my favorite machines I've ever owned in the entire history of Macs. So like, you know, going to what Mike said, I'm a believer in first gen tech. And yeah, you know, it wasn't a big swing in the dark to see that Apple will probably fix the majority of what people say. And I do trust most of the developers that I need on my wrist, the things that I'm really looking forward to, your Evernotes, some of your health stuff, maybe even things like a way for my cameras when I'm taking pictures to allow me to, you know, get some data with the sunrise and sunset, because I do a lot of outdoor photography and things like that. Things like being able to just quickly glance at notifications, some of the to-do stuff that, you know, I can totally see coming out in the first rev of apps. Those are all I really need. The rest of it will be mostly goofing off. And I also, it's funny because no one ever really brought this up, and I got out of the game really early because it was getting kind of stupid. But I used to be a diehard sneakerhead, and I swear I spent $500 on a pair of Jordans, and there is no update. You know, you rock those suckers for 6 months, and they don't work. And even better, and a lot of people don't know this, if you don't wear them, the EVA turns hard. And so when you go to put them on, you're basically wearing ice skates. EVA is that squishy rubber thing in the bottom of your tennies. Or runners, or whatever you British people call it.
AKA
trainers.
Cheap.
Trainers.
AKA cheap shit that they're making with. No?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But I literally have a pair of $500 Jordans that are sitting in the closet that can do nothing for me but say I bought these Jordan 95s because they were epic and they are useless now. And I thought I was collecting quote-unquote sneakers. And I got out of the game because it was dumb. And I know hundreds of people that are sneakerheads. Mm-hmm. And no one complains about them. They're not stupid. They're not fools soon left from his money and all the other crap that everyone's saying about it. It's because it's Apple that a lot of people are getting their pennies in a twist.
Well, you know what? And Doc, and you know, to go back what you're saying about why you're buying the iPhone, you want to peek at the future, right? It sounds like that's what you're saying. And I think that's perfectly valid. And that's exciting. And I'm excited. I don't want to come off as an Apple Watch naysayer, because I'm not. I think it's got tremendous potential. I think there are so many exciting things about it. And, you know, you're willing to be that pioneer who is, you know, may not get the best of everything, but you know what you're getting into, and you're willing to pay a premium to take a peek at that future.
I'm a developer, and one of the things that I have not done intentionally is I have not looked at the Apple Watch emulator on Xcode, because I don't want to do anything unless I have it on my wrist. I want to know what it's like, because, yeah, I have a couple of apps. Yeah, I can maybe add some functionality to the Apple Watch and add some notifications and some cool stuff, but I got to know how it feels before I start developing for it. And I suppose some of the people that developed early for it, they had watches, so they knew what they were doing. Me, I'm looking at this thing going, well, I can guess, but I don't want to code wrong and spend a lot of time writing, you know, something for a watch and then actually get it and go, well, that was actually really wrong. So I'm not touching any code until I get one on my wrist.
And I think that's the reason why, I mean, we've heard that so many of the third-party apps are kind of pointless or crappy. It's because, I mean, most developers so far haven't had any chance to really use the device and test it. I mean, aside from some of them getting access to Apple's Apple Watch labs, most of them, I mean, haven't worn it yet. And I think that's okay, because at least for me, and I'm guessing it's the same for you, the fun of getting a new device is figuring out what it's good for. What, I mean, how can it be integrated? Is it good? I mean, it could be complete stupid. I mean, who knows? But figuring out what to do with it, how to integrate it in our lives, and I mean, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is we quickly glazed over something that Ewan brought up that I thought was extremely important about today, and I was a little shocked, and I won't say I was mad, because I'm happy that I got what I got. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it still covers my need to have one in my hand to write about it, talk about it, and go on. But to have something sell out in 10 minutes that are not tickets to WWDC, like, that does seem a mite odd for Apple.
Yeah.
And I am assuming that somewhere in the next 2 weeks, as the pre-order things are, you know, going along. They will come out sometime next week and say, oh, we have more. We have more. Go back to your, you know, deal. Or they're saving some for the store. Because in the last two phones, one thing that was exactly irritating is the people who didn't pre-order, I always do, they were standing in that line. And I have a video on YouTube that shows me walking like a half a kilometer down this line, videotaping all these people standing outside. And I walked right up to the store. I was the second person in the pre-order line. I walked right back out. And they were looking at me like they wanted to beat my butt. And in Hawaii, I'm like holding on because I didn't want to end up, you know, as a floaty for the volcano. You know, so I think that is really, sorry, sis. Hey, hang up. I thought it was really, really odd that they sold out as quickly as they did. And it was, I literally clicked on Black Steel and I was double checking the order to make sure I had everything right. And right when I went to go back, it was busted. I'll be back. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
My guess on Twitter was the
iPhone 6 Plus came out. Oh, wait, are we talking over each other?
I think we've got Doc's sister on the call.
Oh.
Hi, Doc's sister.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, when the iPhone 6 Plus was released, I pre-ordered it, and it said that it wasn't going to show up for quite a while, but I wound up getting it on release day.
Yeah.
So even though my pre-order says that I'm not going to get it until like the middle to end of May, it may actually show up earlier.
Mm-hmm. My guess on Twitter was that Apple is just ramping up production right now. Everything we've seen so far seems to suggest that. And if that's true, then we will probably see changes in the shipping times. I mean, the shipping times right now when you ordered it, they were pretty vague. They said, for me, they said 4 to 6 weeks, which is a big time span. As I said, 5 minutes after they went online. So I'm guessing the closer we get to the actual release date, the more precise they will get, because Apple probably doesn't know yet how many they can churn out till then.
I think there's two things that have happened. Either Apple were very cautious because they weren't so mm-hmm. sure how many they were going to sell, and they didn't want to have a story of like, well, actually, at the end of the day, first day's trading, there are tons of Apple Watches that you can buy. Or the second thing is, someone is in the basement at Apple with electrodes on their testicles linked to a car battery because they really screwed up.
Yeah.
So I have a little information on availability in store, and you guys may already know this, but on release day, on April 24th, you will not be able to go into an Apple store and buy one there.
Well, that was the next thing I wanted.
Still going to be online only.
Yeah, that's the thing that I wanted to talk about next, because Ms. Errance, I started into Ms. Errance about 6 weeks ago, and Chuck chimed in with his, this is the first time I've seen Apple be greedy. There's a Kickstarter project out there that says, go buy the sport watch, come to us, and we will give you an 18-karat gold casing for $2,000 that is milled. You just drop the stuff out and put the one in, and there you go. Because Apple are really hawking you here. Now, the list price of gold at 24-karat gold is $750 an ounce, and there's no more than 2 ounces in this thing, they reckon. And rose gold is significantly cheaper than standard gold because of the impurities that are in it. Apple really have taken the piss on this. And then Arrance comes out with this email about she doesn't want people queuing around the box anymore because they make the place look untidy. And I'm sitting thinking, she doesn't get this.
Yep.
It's not a bucket list, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's got to go on, it's right up there with meeting the Dalai Lama before you die. But queuing in an Apple queue at an Apple store on day one is an experience that if you can have it, you should have. It's a good, fun time. It's great getting coffee come from the local Starbucks and Apple have paid for it. And it's great getting the high fives from the people when you're coming out and people cheering and stuff like that. It is awesome. If you go down to London and the place is packed at Covent Garden, because it's such a little amphitheatre there anyway, and it's all closed in, the sound is just unbelievable. So I'm sorry, but Arrance has really not got it here. That is not what Apple is about. It is about getting products in people's hands.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird mindset.
Sorry, go ahead, Chuck. Start us off, Chuck.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I used to work in retail. I was I ran the creative services area for a sporting goods chain in the U.S., and we used to have promotions in the stores. We would have a famous fisherman come and, you know, give demonstrations and things. And we had a store manager come up to us after one of those and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, it brings too many people into the store.
What an ass.
Yeah, and that was pretty much my reaction too. So I mean, maybe there's a little of that going on. You know, it takes away from the sparse elegance of the store to have too many people shopping in it, I guess.
God forbid. Go ahead, Mike. No,
I've been on several launch day lines, and they're just amazing. Just talking to people, the electricity on a line is amazing, and it's something. You're right. It's something that everybody should experience. And when I read that statement that they want to take that away, I was very confused about that, because that's part of the mythology of yeah. Apple products. Almost, it's almost like, you know, you expect when the lines are in a mall or something like that, then you know that there's something out there, and that line conveys to outsiders that there is something big happening here. And when you order online, it just takes it away. I feel that it takes the excitement away, not just from you because you're just sitting there waiting for FedEx to show up, but it's like you get out and you get social and you meet people, and you're right, you high five, and geez, man, it's just great. And I don't know what they're smoking, but taking that away from people, I think, is a bad idea.
Let Doc in.
As a purple who worked for ARS, Apple Retail Store, for more than 6 years, and have experienced, God, iPhone launch, the Leopard launch, all kinds of launches. What happens is all the adjoining stores depends on the managers. If the manager's brilliant, they know how to work the crowd, and they do really, really exceptional during launch days. If the manager's an absolute twat, they complain constantly to General Growth Property that Apple is stopping them from making any money because it's too crowded outside. Now, we have three malls here, all of which have Apple stores in it, and all of which are relatively epic malls. But I worked at every single one of the Hawaii retail outlets, and every single one of the neighbors were all the twats. One of the things that was brilliant is the Williams in Sonoma and Ala Moana, they went upstairs, they baked brownies, they came downstairs, and they bought brownies and tea to everyone in line. And people were like, hey, hold my place in line, I'm going to go buy some of this brownie mix. This mess is off the hook, because the lady secretly slapped a little weed in a brownie or something. But they were definitely the best brownies you ever tasted after you've been standing in line for 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
The Starbucks team comes out, and the Starbucks nerds, they bring a little cart, and it has iced tea and coffee for everyone. So everyone was like, yo, this is great, but now I'm mad caffeinated with no food in my belly. Hey, hold my place in line. Let me go to Starbucks and get a biscuit or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those guys made out. Next door to us was this bikini lady. And all, instead of going in and grabbing the nice young ladies that were in line and say, hey, you know, somebody will hold your place, come and check out what we have, or put a rack outside on the sidewalk and be like, hey, these are clearance, we got to get rid of these. While you have people captivated for 24 hours, they complained the entire time. So much so that they Ala Moana moved them to the whole opposite side of the mall. And they went out of business about 6 months later because they lost the ambient foot traffic they got from being next to Apple Store. So I can understand the untidy comment sounds a little dicky, but if all you do is feel complaints from the other idiot stores in the mall because they don't know how to use this opportunity to their advantage, that makes sense. I mean, the bar upstairs, they loved it. They're like, yo, guys in line, come up. I'll give you half off a beer because we got the game on. And people in Hawaii won't cut line. They're very polite. So you look around your neighbors and say, I'm going to run upstairs and grab a pint. And they go, cool, and I'll switch with you when you come back. And so people were running upstairs to watch the game, having a beer, coming back, and people were taking care of each other. And those guys get it, but a lot of the mall guys just didn't get it.
There's a reason why other companies are trying to copy what Apple had with, or still hopefully still has with that experience. I mean, Samsung tried it, Microsoft tried it, so far they have pretty much failed. But there's just something, I mean, it's I think it's almost part of Apple's culture, and the only reason why, why Apple might not want to do that with the Apple Watch is if they didn't have enough watches for the stores.
They haven't got enough watches. That's the key part of it. I mean, there's only the edition watches are only in London and a couple of other big cities. Newcastle has got none. So effectively, Apple is saying, if you live in Newcastle, you don't have enough money for an edition watch. Yeah. So there you go. Which may well be true. I don't know. But
have you seen their football team?
Well, yeah. But people have said to me, oh, well, you know, if you can afford an edition watch, then you can afford a trip to London. That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've heard lots of good things. There's a couple of followers I've got on Twitter who some work for Apple, some used to work for Apple, and a lot of them have said good things about Arendt. She's a caring boss. She does listen. She does try hard, and I'll give her that credit, most definitely, based on what they've said to me. But I think they haven't got enough watches for people to have on day one. Mm. Therefore, they need to get rid of those lines. If this is a policy move towards elite branding, then that's going directly away from the whole principle that Ron Johnson did, which was about a tactile experience. That's why the Apple store is woods and dimpled metals and glass, and the products are out there for you to touch, and it's a tactile experience. And if they think that they can get away from that, they're destroying the one thing which makes an Apple store different from every other store in every other marketplace, in every other piece of merchandise. And I think that's catastrophic.
Yeah. And that's the reason why the Apple Store is so successful, not only by foot traffic, but also by revenue. I mean, it is exactly that, what you said. So for me, it doesn't make any sense to do that in general. I mean, we will see whether this is a one-time thing or a policy change. But
there's always been a hefty price tag with Apple, and there's always been a certain exclusivity that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need an overemphasis of that exclusivity. It doesn't need an extra push behind it to make it into something which is unattainable for some parts of the population, and to keep the pricing high. The pricing's been high, and yeah, okay, you spec out a Mac Pro, it's going to cost you a pretty penny, but there is a perceived quality that goes with that in, hang on, you know, I'm getting 6 Thunderbolt buses here, I'm paying for 6 cores, 12 cores on this machine, so I should be paying a little bit more. You know, there is a perceived quality that goes along with that higher price already. It doesn't need to be added through getting rid of a line round a mall.
The fashion the coolness factor, Apple has had that. With the iPhone, definitely with the iPods. So I don't think Apple really needs that push.
They don't, absolutely don't.
Most Apple devices are cool, and people still see them as cool.
Bookery in the chat room says, what is Arendt's plan to generate product excitement? You sold 5 million watches in 6 minutes this morning. I think she's probably got it. I mean, it's... whatever her plan is, it's not going to beat the fact of just physically making the sodding watches. That would help immensely.
Yeah, we really don't like change. And I always laugh at people who don't like change, because some of the best things in the world have happened because we were smart enough to change them. On the same side of it, some of the worst things in the world have happened because we were smart enough to change it. So, like you can't beat the crap out of quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. It's really boring up the game. But I would definitely say that maybe this newer thingy is kind of not the way we see Apple, but it probably would work out for them. In the same token, I want to look at Microsoft and just applaud the crap out of them, because it seems like everything they do right now is kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like was mentioned on yesterday's show, such a Nutella is doing such a good job. So it's funny that it's almost like we're flipping the ball right now. Let's just hope that Apple knows what they're doing. And so far, they have not hit a bunt or a foul ball in so long, we won't know what to do with it when they finally do. It is funny that everybody is waiting for them to do it. And I would say, even by some of the reviews, some people were hoping that they flub this so they can have something to write about. So I don't know. It's just a little offhand comment by me.
I think let's go back to an Apple One, though. You know, the whole principle of of the Apple computer at the start was about getting products in people's hands, getting products in the home place, getting products to into where people will use them and utilize them. And I think that ethic has been followed through in everything that's gone on. It's about getting products into people's hands. It's not about getting products into the mail, which is what this is about.
As said before, we're just going to have to see if this is a one-time thing, because that every single person that's in line in front of an Apple store is another person that will show that, look, there are thousands of people and that want to buy this thing. And Apple, the thing is, Apple may be making a lot of money. They may be really popular. They may be doing everything right now. But all it takes is just something for, you know, consumers to say, well, maybe they're not as good as they used to be. And if they push to mail delivery, FedEx delivery, instead of keeping people in the store, that could be a serious blunder. But I guess we'll see. We'll see when the iPhone...
I think that will settle out. It's just that the store is not ready for this yet. That's what I think it is. There's a lot of security issues that nobody wants to talk about. I've seen firsthand. I've literally seen idiots come in and try to grab a computer off the thing and run, and they don't get very far. So I've chased one myself, by the way. So I think part of it is they do have to finish getting the stores retrofitted to handle the amount of people that are going to be coming in touchy-feely, lurking around. Some of them unbathed, by the way, when you have a store next to the beach. So I think part of it is just getting adjusted. And to Ewan's point, Angela, AA, as I like to call her, coming from where she comes from, may be a little hoity-toity about this and is going to need some real-world experience to see how to meld what she's used to into what's reality. And I think that will eventually warm itself up. We've gone through this with the last two heads of retail who didn't quite get it. That last British bloke you guys sent us, we sent that cat packing because he came over here like this was Tesso, and Apple ain't Tesso. Raise up.
I got a tweet yesterday from a guy who said, well, from what I've heard, she's doing really well with the people that are in there, and certainly a lot better than the last bloke. And I'm like, well, that's a low bar to start with.
There's a good comment in the chat. It's hard to put a security strap on the Apple Watch and have people try it on the wrist. And I think that's what it comes down to. Because other than that, I don't think there's a big difference between, let's say, an iPhone and an Apple Watch. I mean, it's price-wise pretty much the same. I mean, not talking about the edition. And size-wise, it's not that huge of a difference. But it has to be worn, and I think that's where it's hard to get that in store experience.
The other factor that may have come into play is something that goes back to what Ewan said at the beginning of the show, and that's the demand estimate. Apple may not have had as good an idea of what the appetite or what the demand for the watch was going to be, as opposed to the things that they're much more used to producing. And it's a lot easier to distribute from centralized locations direct to the consumer than it is to try to figure out how many watches to put into the, you know, hundreds of stores they have all around the world at this point.
And let's be honest. The people going to an Apple store, camping out there, and getting it on day one, they are at this point a small minority of Apple's buyers. They are a vocal minority. They are an important minority, but a minority nonetheless.
Well, they're part of the branch of customers. I mean, it's not
absolutely.
I don't think it's they're not a subspecies by themselves necessarily. I mean, I've stood in line, and I would stand in line again if there was going to be one on the 24th. Maybe I might look into it. A couple of comments that we had earlier on today. Bill put in, could do very well. What could this do? Could this take away from the down-to-earth vibe that you get when you go to an Apple store line? Good point. I think it's time for Tim to correct Angela's view of Apple retail, said Bookery. Arrance has never been clapped into a Burberry. That's why she's never heard a crowd cheer when she leaves the store with a brand new product. And I said it was horseshit this morning, and Mark Jacoby, thank you, mate, sent me the definition in the Urban Dictionary. Do you know what a piece of horse shit is called?
Horse apple.
It's called an apple. Horse apple. I'm going to get emails for that. Never mind. We'll come back to this in a minute. Brett Laddin. Do you remember Brett? He sent a thing in, Doc, saying he supported you picking an Apple product on the big show. The camera on the Mac show. And I forgot to read the rest of his email, so I've got the rest of his email here. It's quite long, so I'll try and pricey it. Apple Watch, in order to subjectively figure out if I'd like to use one, I had to remove the Apple label from my equation. After I did this, I concluded that I would never hold my wrist in a position long enough to make use of a watch, other than maybe messages or notices. I could avoid getting it wet, and I wouldn't be able to deal with the running out of power. That said, I could see me buying it because it's from Apple. Now, that's atypical for me, because a lot of the people that I've spoken to who I know would buy stuff from Apple, I've very, very, very mixed responses from people saying, no, I'm not getting it. Or they're certainly going, no, I'm not getting it until there's more apps for it. I'm not getting it until it's version 2. I'm certainly not getting this one because, I'm sorry, there's too much gone wrong, too much that hasn't materialized associated with this one. What's the perception of you guys? What have you heard?
I mean, how many... The first iPhone, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was revolutionary for its time because I remember because I was very much into cell phones, and I was reading an article, I think yesterday, the day before, where they said, somebody at Apple said that they got into making iPhones because they were sick of cell phones at the time, and I felt sick of cell phones at the time. I was rocking a Nokia N95, which was, you know, the most advanced piece of junk that was out there at the time. I had a compact iPad. Do you remember those beasts? But, you know, the iPhone comes around and it's revolutionary. And I don't know. Does anybody feel that the watch is like revolutionary, or is this just an accessory?
It's evolutionary.
I think it's, God, that's a tough one, Chuck. You just...
That's a play on words a little bit, maybe. But go on, explain what you mean there, Chuck.
Well, I mean, it's not a device that's coming out of left field that's going to do things that nobody ever imagined, at least not yet.
Okay.
We do have smartwatches out there. I think the Apple Watch is far and above better than anything else I've seen in what its capabilities are, but it just builds on that. It doesn't introduce a whole new category, in my opinion.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
but I mean, there's a big difference between a smartphone or a phone in general and a watch, and I think that's where that's where the big difference in perception towards the Apple Watch compared to the iPhone comes from. And still, I mean, most people said they wouldn't buy an iPhone or would never buy an iPhone. I've heard the same for the iPad. I mean, myself, I struggled a year and didn't want to buy one. And then, I mean, after I had tried it and I just ran out I had to get one because I saw the value and when the iPad 2 came out, I had to get it. But at first, I wasn't sure I even wanted one. And I see the same thing happening with the Apple Watch. I mean, in my friends, for most part, I mean, those who are in Apple stuff, who are into tech in general, they are interested but skeptical, just like Ewan said. And the muggles, the normal people, the muggles, calls them, they are interested. They are intrigued. I mean, most of them just don't have the money for it, but they are at least interested to see what it might be good for. And I think that's what Apple has to hope for if they want this device, this category, to succeed.
I think that's really interesting because I have not seen yet anyone outside of my tech circles express any desire for the Apple Watch. A lot of the people from the Mac community, from other tech communities I know, are interested in it. A lot of them are getting it, but not one single person that I know who is not involved in tech somehow has said, oh yeah, I'm going out to get an Apple Watch. In fact, I saw a Facebook post that one of my friends shared that had a picture of a guy wearing an Apple Watch, and it said, I want to get the quote right, it said, let's all agree not to have sex with any guy wearing an Apple Watch.
Okay.
So I don't know what that says about the perception, you know, outside the technosphere, yeah, or whatever we want to call it, among the muggles, as Doc says.
Is this Google Glass?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be glass holes.
Glass holes.
We need a better word. We need a word for the watch now.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to see what will happen when devs get hold of it. And I think it's got to, it's the thing that they've got to do is they, and I don't know why they called it a watch, to be honest, because I think that could be the catastrophic error of this at the start. Mm-hmm. They've got to have called it something else that it can become. So it's a device name which does this massive thing. This opens this new world, if you like, to interaction with electronic devices, using the phone as merely the bridge to communicate with your Nest or you know, some other device, switch your lights on and off from the car, open the garage door from your car, you know, that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that needs to happen. And the other thing I think you've got as well is that there's an awful lot of things that happen when you're doing something else, where the phone is great because you've got Siri to say something to. If they can get the Siri integration right, that would help. But there's no way you're going to start spinning this little dial while you're approaching your garage door to try and find the open garage door app. It's got to be a press on the bezel and Siri.
And as far as I know, that's either already in the watch or it's coming. Because, I mean, we all know Apple has HomeKit and HomeKit has Siri integration. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, I mean, getting the devices and all right, getting there,
open the pod bay doors, Siri.
which if you're wearing a watch, it's not going to get you laid, and if that comes out your mouth, Joe, you're in the spare room as well. Jesus.
You know, Julian, you mentioned something earlier that we were talking about the whole supply constraint. Sorry, my vocals got kind of twisted. You know that there's also been slightly talked about, there's some shortages with the new MacBook as well. So that's kind of not like them either. I've never seen it too hard to get a computer unless it's an iMac. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like, are they adjusting this on purpose? Like what's really going on with their supply chains? Are they having problems keeping supply chains that work the way that they want them to work because they're, you know, tried to spread too fast, too thin, and now they're working with new suppliers that they're not used to dealing with? There's a lot of questions going on for what has heretofore been Apple's really, really epic supply chain management. Like, they have, like in school, that was what they talked about when I was taking supply chain management. But this go around, the watches kind of seems to be constrained. The computers are constrained. What's going on in the world of
Foxconn? The question is, are they releasing their products too early right now?
It's possible.
My personal view is that they've got two products that have come out at the same time, which are like Being John Malkovich. Do you remember that in Being John Malkovich, there's a flaw which kind of doesn't exist? It's in there, but no one really understands why it's there and why it's in that kind of where it is. And I think the MacBook, I think everyone's gone on about, I want the 12-inch form factor back. I love my 12-inch MacBook when it was, you know, the little tiny one, the notebook. And I really want that form factor back. So they've gone, okay, fair enough, we'll give you that form factor back. But then they've come in with this new connector, and there's only one connector now, and it's super thin, and it's a great test machine. But actually, because it's super thin, because we've said so many R&D changes to it, because the core, the spec of the processor that we've put on it is something that really doesn't exist anywhere else in our line, and really isn't much tested across the whole of the notebook market. People are looking at it going, well, yeah, okay, but what does it do for me? And I don't see where it sits, because if you look at, you know, that there's a stepping stone, there's a flight of stairs through the Apple computer line which goes up, but this one is priced further up the stairway than the specs suggest it should be, especially now they've revved the Air, and the Air has got, you know, can drive a 4K processor, a 4K computer, a screen. You're looking at this thing going, actually, this is what I said at the time, it's $200 more than it should be. It's overpriced, and underpowered for what it should do. And everyone goes, yes, but it's a revolutionary machine. No, well, it's not. It's just a machine that's confusing people terribly about what it can do. And therefore, the focus groups have gone, well, I don't know if I buy it. And Apple have gone, all right, well, we'll only make 500,000 of them then.
Mm-hmm. I think the same thing was true for the original MacBook Air. I mean, it was expensive and it too didn't fit into the line.
And it sucked as well, the first one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you know what that means though, right? If what you guys both saying are true, and I don't doubt either one of them to a certain extent, what they're doing is taking advantage of what Mike said like an hour ago. Those people who are believers and will buy first-gen stuff no matter what in order to cover the R&D costs. And then once that's squared away, the second version price comes down, gets way better, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that has been the case for, like Patrice said, for the Air and a couple of the other sort of niche products, the Apple TV. You know, I was an early adopter Apple TV guy when I was in at $200+, and now they're $69. And the new one is way better by a long shot than anything that the first gigantic one did. And same thing goes for like original time capsules. Like they were $100 more when they first came out and it didn't really work. I hated time capsules as a tech support guy at the Genius Bar. When people say, I'm having my time capsule not connecting, I used to want to go in the back and cut my feet off because it was going to be a long appointment and I had 15 minutes to make it work. So you guys could be right. And, you know, it may settle itself out. You know, I hate to be that conspiracy theory guy, but it seems like that is typical of a lot of companies. You know, things come out and the people who early adopt, you just pay to be an early adopter. But like Chuck said, what about the people that aren't used to this and doesn't know that this is how this works? Right? If you're an early adopter, your job is to pay for stupidity until it gets straightened out.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference between the old MacBook Air and this new MacBook is, I think, with the old MacBook Air, there was a certain group of people who immediately knew why they wanted it. I mean, I know a few people who are not living on the edge and were not usually not buying the first gen devices, and they immediately bought a MacBook Air for the really expensive price. Because for them there was a value in it, and it was thinness and lightness when they were traveling. But nowadays, I mean, everything is thin and light, and I don't see a reason to buy the new MacBook.
I think
but it's not for everybody, and I think that's an important point. Because now it's thinner and lighter, and you know a lot of people like that. And it also has tremendous battery life, which is important to a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. But I think Apple's made it very clear that this is kind of where they see the future, but they still have the rest of the MacBook line for those people who it doesn't fit yet. Yeah. But I wanted to go back to a point that Doc brought up about it's hard to get the new MacBook. I just looked up on the online store, and it's actually only the gold version that seems to be constrained. It's 3 to 4 weeks shipping, whereas the silver and the space gray are both 1 to 3 business days. And that, to me, goes back to the issue we were talking about with the Apple Watch. Is it that Apple is having a hard time determining demand for some of its products, especially the more specialized products? You know, did they know how many people were going to want a gold MacBook because that's new? And did they screw the estimate on that? And I don't know whether that's a bigger problem, because Tim Cook used to be just phenomenal at that, and the supply chain stuff that Doc talked about a second ago. And does this indicate that maybe he's pulled in different directions now and isn't really using his brilliance for those purposes anymore? And
yeah, he's being asked to do all of these godforsaken interviews. Everybody and their mother's pulling him to do interviews. And to be honest, in the past, you would always send your PR person to go handle that. But now everybody wants to talk directly to Tim. And if we're not talking to Tim, we're not talking to you guys at all. So you might be dead solid correct, Chuck. And also, I think there was a thing, and I don't know, I stopped following it because I didn't get my gold phone. But I think that there's definitely a different production technique and production cycle when it comes to that particular color, because we went through this with phones and it's mellowed itself out now. But it could be the same thing if it's the exact same process.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day when, was it the iPhone 5, I think, when they released the gold iPhone. I mean, it was hard. I mean, nobody knew whether anyone would even want to buy a gold phone. And I think at that point, Apple was surprised of, I mean, surprised so many people did. But nowadays, I mean, I'm guessing they should know because they know how many people are buying gold iPhones. And someone who's buying a gold iPhone or iPad is at least considering, if he's buying a MacBook, he's considering buying a gold one. So I don't think that's necessarily the point.
My iPhone is in a case, so it doesn't matter what color it is. It could be pink, and you would never know it. So there's that also. It's like, well, you know, I guess some of the people that buy like gold or silver, like specifically for that, they must use cases where you can see the color, because like mine, this is my iPhone 6 Plus and it's in this case, and you can never tell that it's black or space gray. So, yeah.
Who knows?
I rarely use a case, so you can always tell what color mine is. Yeah, so maybe there are a lot of us out there too.
There is quite
a few. Yeah, when you wear it, no case feels much better in the hands. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
never mind.
Absolutely.
I went through an iPhone 5 with no case, and I never had a problem with it. I never dropped it, not a scratch on it. However, with the 6, I found that the center of gravity was just a little too far away from my thumb. And I said, you know, I'd better get a case for this thing. And it was a good idea.
Mike's sitting there working out the center of gravity of the iPhone 6, and I just thought it was slippy. I'm sorry, guys.
The 5. I mean, here's my 5. I mean, you can't really tell on the video, but I mean, there's not a scratch on it.
No, the 4. I never had a problem with. I never had a case on it, and I dropped that on stone and stuff like that as well. This one, I dropped it 3 times before I'd got it out of the box properly. It was that bad.
How do you spell that slippy thing?
Slippery. We've had a bit of a tech support question, which I figured I could throw out there if you guys fancy to go at it. It's from Batwitch. Thank you, Mrs. She's put, I've got a question for the Mac Show, if anyone can help. I've got Bert. She's named her MacBook Pro. Oh, dear. It's a 15-inch MacBook Pro, mid-2009, 2.8 gigahertz Intel Core 2 Duo with 8 gig of DDR3 RAM. I've recently upgraded to Yosemite, and since then, connecting to the Wi-Fi in the house has been a nightmare. Sometimes connects and sometimes it doesn't, and asks for a password, which I duly type in, and it says it's not the correct one. Oh, yes, it is, I say, and repeat the process. Then it decides that, oh, yes, it is the right one, and connects, and then sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it happily connects for a few minutes, then drops, and then refuses to re-log on. We've tried to get it to forget the connection and put it back on, but it's still being really squirrely. Are there any suggestions? Regards, and getting extremely pissed off with it, Batwinch.
Upgraded to the latest version of Yosemite? Because the Wi-Fi problems with Yosemite were just infamous for the longest time, and none of the betas seemed to fix it. And then I thought that maybe one of the latest, or maybe even the release version, had finally managed to pin it down. Yeah, but I'm not sure.
You got 10.10.3 at the moment, haven't you? And she did, to be fair, she wrote that on the 23rd of March, so we haven't been able to slot it in up until now. So.
Okay.
That may have fixed it automatically. I did write back to her and suggested that she delete the Wi-Fi if she opens network connections and then deletes the Wi-Fi one, switches it off, and then restarts the Mac. That may just add it back in. I've done that with my wife's MacBook Air.
That would have been my choice.
Yeah. The other thing she could try is disable Bluetooth, because especially on the older MacBooks, there sometimes is an issue with that. For some weird reason, Bluetooth interfering with the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Yes.
Who knows why?
Is that location of the actual?
Yeah, it's on the same card. On that particular computer, it's on the same little card. It's a small plug-in card, 611-98 something. Anyway, you take that card, and when you open the machine, there's 2-3 little antennas connected on some machines, and 2 connected on others, depending on the bezel shape. And what that does is it definitely can cause problems. One thing also that you need to remember, and a lot of people never remember this, in routers and Wi-Fi oriented things, they actually do have a time limit before they start acting a little bit stupid. So 2008, to 2015 puts it at, what, almost 8 years old. You might find, go to your Tesla or wherever you guys got, and buy the little external, like, you know, AC adapter like this, going to cost you like $30, and see if you have the same problem. Because you might not, and it's just because the radios do eventually die in those things. And I wouldn't say replace the whole machine, because you got to, replace the whole card, because you got to take it apart to get down to that part of the machine. But a little thing like this, which you could pick off eBay in the U.S. for like $9, completely solves that problem. They're not very big, and you're able to let an old machine last longer.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Let us know how you get on. Batwitch is in the chat room. She says that she's upgraded to 10.10.2, but she's going to run the update to 10.10.3 and see if that works. Paul Shadwell's telling her that 10.10.3 will fix her Wi-Fi issues.
Yeah, fix it on my old 2008, which I just keep around for, you know, surfing when you're on a TV and you need IMDb lookup, but it totally fixed it on that machine for me.
There you go. This podcast and all the others brought to you by UK2, of course. They're fantastic. We love them to bits. We're doing so much with them at the moment. If you want anything for the web, domain names, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, co-location services even, then they're the people to speak to. We've got a whole load of offer codes which you can get. Go to british.network.com/UK2 or /sponsors to get the codes. And they'll know we've sent you. We get the kudos for it, and you'll get great deals. They're wonderful. And the other people are a sister company of theirs, 100tb.com, because they sponsor our live broadcasts. They've given us a dedicated server to do our own RTMP out to the world, and it is not hot. These boys are all sitting. We've always never sent video back to people when the show. I've got all the equipment for it, but it's always just been a pain in the arse. It's never worked properly, and the CPU goes off the scale and all sorts. And we've got such a fast connection now that these guys are watching it at a 2 second delay, so it's not a major problem anymore. They can log on to the live page, watch just at the same time as you. The entire world gets it 2 seconds later. And here's the best bit. The server that is doing that for us is a 100tb.com server. So if you would like to get the servers that we use from $139 a month, it's exclusive to the US, then try out 100tb.com, and you can follow them on Twitter at 100tb as well, and tell them that British Tech Network sent you. And say thanks as well, if you can, to UK2 and to 100tb.com for supporting us, because we really would be lost without them. And part of the other thing that goes with the streaming is Wirecast. Telestream gave us two copies of Wirecast. That's $2,000 worth of software for me and Paul to run the Southern and Northern studios. And again, we'd be lost without them. So please, please, please give them a plug if you possibly can. And of course, Telestream make the fantastic ScreenFlow software. ScreenFlow 5, I think you can get that for around £50 at the moment, which is just awesome value. It really is stunning. It's a stunning piece of software for making screencasts. Still can't get an Uber, by the way. Been trying, but still no Uber in Birmingham. Although they supposedly love us.
It's a myth.
I have my doubts.
I use Wirecast. It's really good.
It's awesome. Wirecast is great. I need to learn how to use it more, because I sit here just going between individual shots, but I know I can chain shots together and I can do far more than I actually do. It's just sitting down and reading the manual.
Like every 2 weeks they do these pretty kick-ass Wirecast webinars. And although I don't use Wirecast as much as I used to, I watch pretty much every one of the webinars, because they always come up with good stuff. And I recently decided, I've been using ScreenFlow, God, since version 1, but I want to go check out their webinar on ScreenFlow just to see if I missed anything. And I'm like, man, I haven't been scratching the surface of what that thing can do. So pretty much every couple of weeks, even if you don't own the product yet, you can jump on a webinar, and they do some pretty epic webinars. They explain you all of the cool stuff. You can ask questions, and you don't have to read a manual.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I've got a load of stuff that we can use here that I just don't get into anywhere near enough. Anywhere near enough.
You should have somebody at 100TV call up Apple and say, hey, next time you guys want to pre-order something, let us run it instead of your guys' stank-ass servers.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously with all the money you have in the world, your stank-ass servers can't get fixed. Let us handle it for you. Ask Ewan. It works perfectly. And it's then beautiful. I would have got the watch I wanted, damn it.
It is beautiful. And we've nearly got lip sync as well. I've nearly sorted the computers out here for lip sync as well. We're not a million miles away. Now then, have you seen our caricatures? And would you like one of your own? Well, you can have one of your own. All you've got to do is come and join us. Send your donation, if you like, to Len Peralta. It's $100. He will draw you a caricature. And what you get for that caricature is your own banner on the BTN webpage. You can have a promotion for your local school fate if you want. Or you can have your company name. Or you can have what Batwench did, which was just to have her BTN podcast dream team, which me and Doc are very grateful to be on. And also what you get as well, if you want to, is you get our sticker bomb sticker. Here you go. So if you want your picture to appear, your caricatures come with the sticker bomb background that you can then take to go to Jelliskins and get made into a cover for your notebook or for your iPad or for your iPhone or anything you like, then all you've got to do is send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. We'll put you in touch with Len and the offer code that he's got. You send him three pictures, he does your caricature, and you get all of this stuff back as well as. And you can use it wherever you want. You can put it as your Twitter avatar or whatever you fancy. But there you go. If you want the sticker bomb to go on the back of your computer, then just get a caricature made by Len.
Yeah, you have a see-through MacBook.
I do, yeah, it's the latest one. Well, I was going to keep this secret because actually it's a bit hush-hush, but I've been in touch with Microsoft and they've sent me the latest Invisible. There we go. The latest Invisible Windows 10. Windows 10. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Look at that, see? It creates a false background. It's amazing. Awesome. Can't get over that. The only problem is I put it down the other day. I can't find it now.
Yeah.
And the Destiny clan as well. Batwench always wants to mention the Destiny clan. If you like playing Destiny on your Xbox or your PS3 or 4 or whatever, then we've got a BTN Destiny clan. So join in with that. I'll put the link in the show notes. And the Bash. Here we go. The Bash is coming 3rd and 4th of July. It's going to be an awesome event this year. We've ordered good weather, and it's definitely on. There's a curry on the 3rd. It starts at 5 o'clock over at the Curry House. There will be beers on offer and little starters around the room that you can pick out on. And then we'll get main dishes and that kind of stuff. And we'll have a great time like we did last year. It was a really, really lovely night. And we had the back door open to the garden area. Helen had brought a bean bag, so she was sat out on that, and it was absolutely wonderful time. Really, really lovely summer's evening. And then on Saturday the 4th, the Bash starts in Anger down in Waterhorton. B36, B46 are the places you're looking for hotels if you want to stop over. We've still got a couple of ticks left over for the What I Know Sunday event at my house. If you'd like to come. Under 16s are free of charge. They're not free of charge for the curry. They've got to pay a £10 deposit to reserve the seat, but that's all they pay. No matter what they drink or eat after that, that's all they're going to pay for. We'll just split the bill amongst ourselves. But it's great. And I've also found, if you're looking for some accommodation, a place down in a little village called Minworth, which is next to Waterhorton. And it's the Minworth Club and Lodge, and it's at minworthclubandlodge.co.uk. And their phone number is 0121 351 3531. But they've got ensuite rooms, including breakfast, from £30. So nice and cheap and perfectly close. They've got 19 rooms available, and none of them are booked at the moment. I checked the other day. So it's a good place. It's walkable to the Bash. It is walkable. It's a fair walk. It's about a mile and a half, but it's walkable, most definitely. Right, have we got any cool things? Mr. Latournus, start us off.
Of course. Well, the first thing is, I lied to you all. I did actually buy an Apple Watch, and I'm using the Mickey face right now.
If you can see that there. Dear.
So, all right. All right, it's just the Nano on.
That was nice.
No, my actual cool thing is an upgrade to a Macintosh utility that I found very indispensable. I have as our home family machine, an old 2011 iMac with a 1 terabyte drive, which sounded very spacious when we bought it, but that fills up very quickly, as I should know by now. So there's a utility called Clean My Mac, which goes through your computer and it figures out, you know, things that you don't need, finds old big files that you can ditch safely, reports all that to you, gives you the option of whether or not you delete them. So, you know, the final decision is up to you. They just came out with version 3, which looks fantastic and adds some more features. So it will now go into your mail attachments and help you find the big files there, which is where a lot of them are hiding. It'll help you clean up things like iTunes and the cruft that kind of contributes and accumulates over the years there, too. I've saved dozens of gigabytes of space on my hard drive. Yep. Yeah, it's really good. Really good utility. Not to be confused with another utility with a similar purpose that puts pop-up ads all over the place and, you know, I would steer very far away from, and it sometimes gets kind of put in the same category as that. Clean My Mac is the name by Mac Pause. Yes. Very good.
Doesn't rhyme with Mac Reaper.
Yes, that's right. Very good way to put it.
If you're not willing to say it, I'm willing to say it. Don't buy Mac Keeper because it's like herpes for your computer.
Yeah. Yes.
It's disgusting shit. Yep. And you can tell it is,
Mac is
because
like
they
it.
Sell it as bounce backs off porn sites. So that says everything, doesn't
that
it?
Tell you something.
How do you know this, Ewan?
Because I go to loads of porn sites. Yeah, what can I say?
You know what's so sad is, like, I've met those guys at Macro how many times, and they're really good guys. And I asked them once before, I was like, why do you guys do that? And he told me the honest-to-God answer, and I accept it, but there's better things you do with it. He says they started buying into that bulk ads way back when it was cheap, and it's so cheap that they actually they have so much of it, they sell some of those ads to other people, but they don't want to lose their spot, so they keep doing it, and they actually, a lot of people buy that crap. And I'm like, well, can you just make the software not so douchey or find a better way to do it? Because it's super irking, and I like the guys, but I really hate the way the company does their stuff.
Yeah, well, until they straighten up their act, luckily we have Clean My Mac, which is great. Version 3 is out now. The reason I mention it right now is because if you have a previous version, normally it's $40. You can upgrade for $20. But this week, I think it ends on the 14th of April, you can also, even if you don't own it, you can get it for $20. It's 50% off. So if you don't have it, rush out to get it right now. If you already have it, you have a little bit more time, but you're still going to want to upgrade. It's well worth the extra $20.
Seconded. Absolutely seconded. I've got Clean My Mac 2 on the computer here, and we actually ran a giveaway with them a little while ago. So I'm going to get in touch with them this week and see if they want to do a giveaway on 3, because that'd be useful.
That was my pick as well, Chuck, because...
Yeah, mine too, really.
Everything that Philip and the team over there puts their hands on, like, they're pretty amazing. I use Clima Mac. I use Gemini and the other ones that they have for your external drives, which are actually free. You can get Clima Drive from the App Store, which does the same thing for your external drives. And Hider 2, which I also use to hide my porn sites, Ewan.
I don't need to hide it.
I did run the Clima Mac Beta 3, Clima Mac version 3, the beta, and it's really amazing. It was stable from the first day, and they still managed to improve it. So it's really the best app.
And it's beautiful, too. The user interface is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It's really easy. Really, really easy. It's good for an install as well. Excellent for an install, what's your cool thing for us, Patrice?
I'm going to pick also an app or a number of apps. It's MoneyWiz by, I think the company is called SilverWiz. It's basically a personal finance manager or management app. It's available for the Mac, for Android, for Windows, and for iOS, and soon for the Apple Watch. And, I mean, it's a personal finance manager. So it allows you to track your income, your expenses, assign categories, create charts. I mean, all that stuff. They have a really rock solid syncing solution. I'm using it on all of my devices, and it has never failed. Version 2 has been out for, I don't know, a month or so, and it's just, it's beautiful. It's really, really well done. It never crashes. And I mean, it allows you see your expenses, see what you're spending your money on, like your Apple Watch. And I mean, keep track of it. And I've been using it for, I mean, the version one for almost 2 years now on a almost daily basis. And it's really, really solid and it's simple to use. So compared to other, I mean, there are a million apps like that, but compared to others, it's really simple to just add an expense, and that's valuable to me. So
what was the price again?
The price, the Mac version is $20. The iOS and Android versions are $4. It's universal, or $5, $4.99. And the Windows desktop version is also $20.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. Doc, what have you got for us?
Here, let me pop the link in real quick so you can grab it. I'm going to pick the Brick Case. Basically, this is so cool, and I'm surprised that no one's really done it before or on the level that these guys have decided to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
No,
is that bad?
It's awesome.
I'm going to cry. No, actually, I think this thing is so cool because they basically, they can't use the word Lego, so I'll use it for them. But using the same positioning as the Lego, they've made a silicone backing that's going on. And yes, I have seen the phone cases of this, but this is really cool as a computer case. And I think that you can do cool stuff like, you know, put whatever you want on the back, make your logos chains, and it's so easy. They will ship it for you with about 100 bricks on the $35 plan. But I like the fact that you can, it is completely compatible with standard issued Lego as well. I think the thing that's cool about the bricks that they do ship it with is they're soft. So they're going to be that kind of silicone rubbery type thing. But this is pretty cool. And you make your case look the way you want to make it and change it. And you can do all kinds of cool stuff. So like I will go to Starbucks or my ever coffee place, and I would put "Leave me the F alone" because people cannot see headphones on. Okay, these things are huge, and I have nothing but three pair of multicolor, high-color Beats, and the computer, and I'm working, and people always want to come and talk to me. And I'm like, what part of this face doesn't say "Leave me the hell alone"? So now you can just write it on the back of your computer.
And people will still come up to you because most people can't read.
All right, they'll say, where'd you get that case?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. So anyway, I think the Brick Case is pretty kick-ass. And the other thing real quick was I just backed another Kickstarter for another adapter for the Apple Watch for those of us who bought. If you want to try it, put any band you want on it. And I thought that was kind of cool. And so I picked up another Apple Watch thingy, and here's the link. Boom. I posted it earlier, Batwinch. Bronwyn helped me convert the dollar to pound because it was too early for me. And yeah, it's only like $26 and I can put any band I want. So I thought that was cool.
Awesome. Thank you, mate.
Good. It's from Manchester, UK.
Good choices. Mike, what have you got for a spell?
All right. I'm going a little off the rails here. I'm a bit of an audio snob. I put the link in chat. There is an app out there called, I'm always going to pronounce this wrong, Audivana, it's something like audio and Nirvana combined or something that came out to Audivana.
Yeah.
But this allows you to play HD audio. And I found out over the years that when you play even like the Apple lossless stuff over iTunes, iTunes itself does not open up your speakers to what they could do. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you're playing stuff at, like, minimal audio quality. And this app allows you to play FLAC, which iTunes, for some reason, cannot do. And this is the big thing for me. This is the reason why I got it. It allows you to play DSD files, which is the digital version of SACD CDs. So you get, like, this amazing quality audio, like 24/192 quality, which is God knows how many times better than a CD. And if you're just running it through normal speakers, you're not going to hear the difference. So this is not something like you play it and you've got like some junky speakers that you bought at CompUSA 10 years ago, you're not going to hear the difference. But if you're running a home theater system or something, you've got some good speakers and your Mac is connected to it, then you're going to tell the difference. So there you go. That's my thing. And you can buy DSD. I forgot the name of the website, but there's a website out there and they sell DSDs. There's HDTracks.com. They sell HD audio. I'm still waiting for Apple to sell HD audio. I don't know what is keeping them from doing it.
Because they figure they've got enough for most people at 256, haven't they? Or 192 or whatever it is.
I guess.
Mike, are you talking about nativedsd.com?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, well, you know what? I know what you're talking about. No, it's not that. Hold on. Give me 1 second and I'll find it. It's like HD or H.
While Mike looks for that, I'll give you a cutting-edge report that I updated to 8.3 this morning on my iPhone, and it's just started by itself all over again for the second time during the show.
Really? I haven't had any problems.
It's going to be a quiet weekend.
Oh, here it is. Like superhighres.com. That's where you can buy DSD files. Superhigh, HIREZ.com.
Excellent.
Oh, this is really cool. I just subscribed for Tidal because I'm like you. I like to listen to my stuff at a higher clip. I have a full B&W surround. My family owned a high-end speaker store for basically 30 years. So nice. I was in charge. So I have an SACD player, all of that stuff. I was basically in charge of selling all of this kind of craziness. And I really do miss it. And people are always saying, well, the audio quality of the songs that come out now suck. But if you have a classic collection, this is pretty wicked. This is badass. I really appreciate that.
I have a good number of albums on SACD, and they just, well, not all of them sound amazing. Some of them have mastering problems. So just because it's on SACD doesn't mean it's immediately or automatically going to sound better. You have to do some research on the titles, but I've got some like Derek and the Dominoes, which just sounds phenomenal.
Oh, this is cool. I have been using Vox for the last 2 years because Patrice and I met those guys at Macro, and it's pretty cool. But yeah. This is, it sounds like it's better. I want to download it and try it.
This is not for headphones.
Mac Vader in the chat room has said 8.3 has finally got Dutch Siri. I don't know if that's a disease of some description. but there you go. My phone's restarted.
Mac Vader?
Yeah, again. Mac Vader, yeah.
This is for him.
I've got a tweet coming on DM saying, why aren't you talking about Photo? I thought we could have a week playing with Photo before we actually started trying to review it. So let's leave that for a week. I've also had an instant review of Photo from Muller. I hate the Photos app. It's shite. All it wants me to do is upgrade my cloud storage. It's a rip-off. Flickr, 1 terabyte free. Apple want 15 quid a month. Bollocks. There you go.
So, or you use the new Amazon one we talked about the other day, which is like unlimited for, what was it? Unlimited for like $5.
And I did have a question this morning that I promised I'd read out. Thank you for that. What an arse. I'd forgotten it. It's gone so far down my Twitter feed. Fill the airtime. Come on, fellas. Be good guests. Here we go. It's from Mark. Does using iCloud Photo with Optimize on the phone turned on mean my Google Plus and OneDrive photo backups will be at low res only? And I wrote back and said, I can't see that being the case, but I'll have to check with everyone this afternoon.
I don't know.
I'm not the only one scratching me here. Does iCloud Photo with Optimize on the phone turned on mean that my G Plus and OneDrive photo backups will be at low res?
I would
think that's not the case because the first thing it does is it lands on the roll, and then when your phone has downtime, it goes and optimizes it and throws away the other copy. So provided that other two services can grab a hold and upload of it before iCloud gets a hold of it, I think you should be pretty square.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will be at all. So
I use Carousel, so I can't say anything.
Me too.
Yeah. Right. Michael Thing is a dead... did I make it? I made a picture of it. Here we go. Michael Thing is... I can't find the, it's, oh Jesus, that's really pissed me off now. Last Voyage, there we go. I couldn't find the sodding title, couldn't remember what it's called. Last Voyage, it's a really simple graphical interface. with just some little simple puzzles where you have to rotate stuff around to get it to line up, or it's flying through some tubes and you have to go left and right to avoid the red obstacles that are in the tubes. And it's dead simple, and you think, well, okay, this is dead easy. It's only 79p. It is the most infuriating game I've ever played in my entire life, because it does what all good games should do, which is give you a couple of easy levels that you can piss all over, and then all of a sudden it gets really difficult and you can't put it down. And as with Atomus, which, you know, that should be a great morning motion game, except now I play it for so long my legs have gone dead when I get up from the toilet. This one's the same. I started with this as a morning motion game, and it was great. I could put it down after 2 minutes quite happily. Now I've got dead legs again. So there you go. Last Voyage, it's available on iOS, and it's 79 pence, a.k.a. 99 cents. So there you go.
What? I like this idea of morning motion. I never heard of that. To me, that may roll over and wake up the missus.
Oh, no, I'm probably going back 2 years now, and I suggested tying up with a developer and starting morning motion software. And all it made was iOS games that lasted 5 minutes. That was it.
A.k.a. roll over and wake up the missus.
No. The morning motion, mate. Get up, sit on the toilet, do the morning motion, and you've got a game that lasts for the morning motion. That was the idea.
Yeah, that motion. That, okay, I thought I got motion. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that problem too.
Okay. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Latourneth? You're on mute, dude. Podcaster 101.
Sorry. It was the morning motion conversation threw me off a little bit. You can find me on Twitter at Chuck Latournus, if you can spell it. Also these days, I'm mostly on macworld.com. Still the occasional piece on macobserver.com. My ramblings that don't fit anywhere else are on randomaccess.com. 2 M's, 2 C's, 2 S's. And my open beta website about the intersection of high tech and high adventure is trailcamper.com.
Excellent.
Enough?
Yep, superb, mate. Thank you. Pitchfork says he's loved watching the live show, but now what the hell's he supposed to listen to while he's walking the dog on Tuesday? Thanks, mate. Patrice, great having you on, mate. Thank you. Please come again.
Yeah, I'd be happy to if you want me.
Feisty episode. Where can we get you, pal?
You can find me on Twitter at @casual_kitchen. I've also got a blog at brandomer.net where I post random stuff that comes into my mind. And other than that, there is a podcast, Deconstruct, where we deconstruct BS stories in the tech media with Jerome Kohler and Ben Rothick. And MacUser.pro, the professional Apple User Academy with Doc and Kelly and a lot of other people.
Excellent, mate. Fantastic. See you soon. Doc, where are you, sir?
Patrice covered it.
all of the places where you find Patrice.
Yeah, just add at Doc Rock on Twitter and Instagram and on The Big Show and The Mac Show. And yeah, just somewhere standing in line on the 24th to get my stuff and harass people who didn't pre-order.
Excellent.
I'm just going to make a line to piss off Angela. I'm going to make an app like we're queuing up.
That's actually a good idea.
At various Apple servers, I'm going to queue up just for the F of it and just hold up signs and say iHeart AA and then see what happens. I guarantee we can end up on CNN in like 3 days.
Batwitch has been rather trying to be helpful with Pitchfork. He said, well, why don't you listen to The Big Show instead? And he said, I can't. That's Wednesday morning. We've got The Pocket Show on Monday. If you haven't listened to The Pocket Show, you really should. It's a cracking show. So we take one Windows user, one Android user, one iOS user, and we let them duke it out under the refereeship of Paul Wheatley. So check out Pocket Show Monday night, 8 o'clock, live if you want to watch it. And it really is worth listening to. And yes, mate.
We need a 5-minute podcast called The Pinch. And it's exactly for when you're pinching the loaf time, and we'll just talk about any random thing for 5 minutes, and they cut the feed off at exactly 5 minutes, whether the sentence is done or not.
The name is perfect. I love it.
Right. So yeah. We'll stick around. We'll record the first episode immediately after this. There we go. we'll have some titles that last longer than the entire show does. Mike, where are you, sir?
I am at StarMike on Twitter. You can find the shows that I do, World of Warcast, This Week in Trek, Yestergear, Pulp Phaser, on the D20Network.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And now, of course, on The Pinch Show.
In The Pinch Show.
Yeah, there we go. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I'll be back again next week with the Big Show on Thursday night and the Max Show on Friday afternoon on time. And Paul will be here with the Pocket Show on Monday if you want to watch it. Stick around if you want to watch the first episode of The Pinch Show because it's going to be awesome. What's the topic going to be then, Doc?
I don't know.
Have you got an
motion?
Have you got an encyclopedia?
Morning motion.
No. Have you got an encyclopedia handy? Anyone got an encyclopedia handy?
You just open it up.
You thumb it, and then you stop and you talk about the first word that's listed on the left hand page. Do it. Someone get an encyclopedia. We're in.
Doesn't Wikipedia Google have a random article somewhere?
Yeah. You can't have something where you can read facts. It's got to be us talking about shit we have no idea what about.
Unlike this show, right?
Yeah.
Ow. There you go.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's cutting and hurtful.